Good to be with you this morning. We're going to be once again studying the parables of Jesus for a few minutes. If you remember, we started this series, I guess, about 3 weeks ago. We looked at the idea first of forgiveness and how important it is and how unconditional it is for Christians to be able to forgive. And the idea with forgiveness also is that we forget, that we wipe the slate truly clean. Last week we looked at prayer and the idea of being steadfast in prayer, that we will face hard times in our lives, and the Lord didn't say He's going to take away the hard times, but He did promise us He would see us through them, that He's the God of all comfort, but He wants us to be faithful and not lose heart in the hard times of our lives. This morning, we're going to take a look at learning to live from the parables. And to start this lesson today is maybe a little bit different. I'm going to go back and take a few looks at some of the warnings that Jesus and we have in the New Testament about how we live. Then we're going to talk about the things we add to our lives. And then we're in with two of the parables of Jesus. But if you take a look first at some warnings, we've looked at this verse a number of months back when we looked at the providence of God. But look at what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." One of the ideas that we see throughout Scriptures is the idea that we have a choice to make. And I think you'll see that as we go through all of our lesson today. It's almost like we're always standing at a crossroads, and we have to decide, how are we going to live our life? Which path are we going to take? And as Jesus says, there's an easy way to go. There's a way of the world that you can just kind of go with the flow. But that ends in destruction. But there's the narrow way. It takes more effort to get there. But it leads to life. And that's the choice we make almost every day in our lives. How are we going to live? Are we going to live for life? Or are we just going to go with the flow, the way that leads to destruction? In the parable of the sower that we looked at a few weeks back, Jesus talks about the sower that goes out and sows the Word of God to everybody. And some people accept that and they grow up in the Lord, and others don't. And He talks about some that accept the Word for a while, but He says the thorns, the weeds of this life choke it out. And notice what He says about that. He says, "As for those who fell among the thorns," that's just the Word of God, the seed, "there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life." Just the things of the world overshadow their love for the Word and the way that they should be going. The idea of choked out, like weeds in your garden of life. The cares, the riches, the pleasures. In one of the Gospels, it talks of the deceitfulness of wealth. And another word talks about just the desire for other things. The desire for the things of life, for the things of this world. Overall, in the book of James, we have James, and notice how similar this is to what we just read from Jesus. He says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," now notice these things, "the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Now notice what he says. The flesh, the idea of sexual morality that's always around us. The idea of the eyes, the things that we see. We just see things, we just want more. And we see that in the parable of Jesus. And the pride of life, the idea of just taking pride in what we've accomplished, what we have, our possessions, who we are, the idea of pride is of the world and not of the Father. These are the warnings. These are the things that keep you off the path. The cares of this world, these are the things that can keep you from going to the path that leads to life, as we'll be taking a look at today. I came across a book a while back, Can Man Live Without God? It's written by Ravi Zacharias. And he goes through a number of things that add life, real life, to our lives, the things that we need to have in our lives. And he goes through four of these, sort of the stages. He starts off with the wonderment of being a child. Do you remember, if you ever looked at child, and of course we've got the children around in our home this week, the wonderment of just experiencing life, and when they see new things and how they experience them, and just the way they look at things. And it's so much different than as we get older sometimes. We if we're not careful, can lose that wonderment of being a child. He gave one example, one story. He was traveling through the Middle East. And he was going from Jordan to Israel. And this was some years back when there was a lot of tension in the Middle East. And he was already told that it was going to take probably all day to make that crossing. And so they cross over from Jordan, they get into Israel, and they're put into a large room where they have to wait through a line to be interviewed. And he said around the room, guarding all the doors, were soldiers with machine guns. Now he said, if you're standing in a room with all around you soldiers with machine guns, it puts a little tension in the air. And so they were, it was him and his wife and his two-year-old daughter. He said, my daughter sat there, and she made eye contact with one of the Israeli guards, a young man. And she started just staring at him. And he stared back at her. And she walks around and she talks to him. Now, this is a two-year-old little girl. She looks up at the guard and says, do you have any bubble gum? And he said, when she said that, half the people heard it. The tension in the whole room just went down a whole level. That can happen when you have that wonderment of being a child. It has an influence on all the around us. We can lose that if we're not careful. Sometimes we look at things just being material. Children don't look at things that way. If we're not careful, we can lose our gratitude for all the wonders. How much do we appreciate seeing a rainbow? You remember the first time you saw a full rainbow? I remember the first time I saw a rainbow. I'd seen them in books, but actually saw one that went all the way across the sky, how wonderful that was. You see a sunset with all the pink and everything. Do we have gratitude for the things around us, just the wonderment? Do we lose our joy of seeing those things? These things are the things that add to our life. The next thing he goes through, and we'll go through these very quickly till we get to the parables, the idea that do we seek truth? Do we really want to know the truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His very life shows us truth. In fact, he brings that out towards the end. They're accusing him. And he says, well, which of the good works I've done are you going to accuse me for? Which of the miracles, which of the people that I've healed are you going to accuse me? Jesus' very life shows us the truth. In him, there was truly nothing false. The next one he talks about is the idea of love. Now, we could talk a lot about love, and we will as we get through some of the other parables. But the idea of love, I really think, is what separates us from every other form of animal, is that idea we love like the Father loves. Love requires, though. It requires sacrifice. And that was the way that God was able to show us love. How could the Creator of the universe, God could just create another whole universe if he wanted. How could he sacrifice? Because love requires sacrifice. God sacrificed by showing us his love when he gave us his only son. And he was able to show us what love should mean to us. The two great commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor. Francis Schaeffer, in his book, The God Who Was There, goes through the idea, you can take time and chance, and they can never equal a human soul. And we'll see that as we go through our lesson today. The last one is the idea of security. Nothing in this world gives you security. We can see that. You see that in financial matters, the way things whirl around. But you see those in life. Where do we find security in this life? This one was brought to me very vividly just a few weeks back. I've been to a number of funerals this year, and it seems like too many. But about a month ago, we got a phone call early in the morning that my brother-in-law just had a massive heart attack. And we immediately, Linda and I, the next day, as many of you know, we drove up to Charlotte to be with my sister. And we got there, and he was in a coma. And they told us that the next day they would try to bring him out of the coma. And so on Tuesday, they tried to, and they were unable to. And they said, well, we'll try again the next day. But the doctors that afternoon really were, they were talking to my sister, trying to prepare her that they may not be able to bring him out of the coma. And when I looked at him, we had talked to her on Saturday afternoon. She had called us just to talk, as brother and sister do. I mean, she just called to see what was going on. And he was in the background talking, and they were getting ready to go out to supper. And that Saturday night, they did. They went out to supper, and a few hours later, he had his heart attack. Now, I looked at him laying on there in the hospital, and I've known him for about 40 years. He started dating my sister when we were in college, and they got married shortly thereafter, so he'd been part of our family for 40 years. He's exactly the same age I am. We were born in the same month. So I've always felt, you know, some closeness there for that. And just seeing him, I realized, I mean, Saturday he was fine. And now today, Tuesday, they did not expect him to live. Now, he right now is recovering, and we hope he will recover. He came out of the coma on Thursday. But for Tuesday and Wednesday, when they could not revive him, it was very, very hard on the family. And you realize just how fragile life is. Like I say, Saturday afternoon, he was fine. He was talking, going out to dinner with his best friend. And Tuesday, he was just holding on to life by a thread. There is no security in this world, regardless of how we may think of things. Look with me at a couple of the parables of Jesus. And the first one we want to take a look at is in chapter 12 of Luke. Now, Jesus starts chapter 12 with a saying, guard your life against the teaching of the Pharisees. He's going to come on again with guarding your life. And the idea, this is what you need to put into your life to keep you on the right path. And he says, guard your life against the teaching of the Pharisees. Later on, he's going to bring that out. The Pharisees loved money. They loved the things of this world. They took pride in those things. He says, guard your life against that. Then he gets down towards the end. And notice this little parable that he gives us. This begins. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? Now, if you forget everything else in this sermon, look at this next verse. And he said to them, take care, be on your guard against covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all the grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. What do you think of this guy? Well, if we think about him the way we normally think, you'd say he's a pretty good guy. He seems to be honest and moral. We don't see anything about dishonesty here. He seems to be hardworking. He's laid up goods for himself. He's planned for his own retirement, like we're told we should save for retirement. He's done that. He seems to be disciplined. He doesn't waste what he has. But the way that the world would judge things, this is a model kind of guy that you should look at. This guy's got it together, the way we would think of it. He's really provided for himself. But notice what's not said. It doesn't say anything about his thoughts or his dependence on God. It doesn't say anything about his thoughts even for his neighbor or anybody else but himself. Everything revolves around him. He's provided for himself, but he hasn't thought about anything else. And look at what the Lord says to him. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is, whoever lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich towards God. See, the one thing he had not planned for was the most important thing of all, his own life. The word soul can be translated as soul or life. It's him. His life, his soul, his very essence. He had not planned for that. One of the things in life is death. We need to plan for our death. We need to make sure we're prepared to meet our Maker. Hebrews tells us it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is a time we need to think about these things. Do we prepare? Do we think about our own death, our own life? What do we save up for? This man saved up earthly possessions. But where did they go? Where did they go when he died? And that goes back to our scripture reading this morning. I'm not going to go through the whole scripture reading, but notice what Jesus brings out. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Instead, seek His kingdom. Seek the Lord's reign in your life, and these things will be added to you. We will have what we need. Paul says, I've learned what it is to be content in all situations. I know what it is to have a lot, and I know what it is to go hungry. And I can be content with whatever the Lord gives to me. And that's what we need to learn, not to seek after just the things. Just, it's all things are always there. And if we want more, that's what covetousness is. That's a word that we don't think much. What does it mean to covet? It means just simply to want more, to look around you and want what you don't have. That idea of envy goes into it. The idea of actually of taking pride in seeking those things. The idea of just always wanting more, not being content with where we are and not seeking the Lord's way and being rich towards Him. This man was a fool because he lost that, his very soul. We need to think about, what are we seeking in life? Are we seeking the Lord's way, or are we seeking the things of this world? The next parable comes from Luke chapter 15. In this parable, Luke chapter 14, verse 15. If you begin at the beginning of Luke 14, Jesus is in a very hostile environment. He's invited to dinner at a Pharisee's house. But as he goes in, the Pharisees invited, basically it sounds like the whole town is there. And they're really trying to find something in Jesus to accuse him for. They actually bring in somebody to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day. And you see it's a very hostile crowd. And Jesus gives them this parable towards the end of chapter 14. And take a look at what he says. When one of those who reclined at the table said and heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to them, "A man once gave a great banquet, invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything now is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've just bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have brought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go examine them. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come.'" Now, as we go through this parable, and let's stop there and just take a quick look at it. One of the things we talked about last week in looking at parables, to understand a parable usually means to understand what part of the parable doesn't fit. Or what time that Jesus a lot of times uses overstatement or exaggeration or something just doesn't fit very good in the parable. What is that? Well, if you read this parable, it's these guys. You ever see somebody give a great banquet and invite people and nobody come? That's what's happening here. And why are they not coming? Well, notice their excuses. Their excuses are about as lame excuses as you could get. I've never bought a lot of land, but can you think about going out and buying land and then going to look at it? That's what this guy says. Or I've never bought any oxen, but would you think you'd go out and buy oxen and then go examine them? Now, I've seen on TV and stuff how they do horses. They always go up and examine their teeth and hit the horse and see, you know, if he's a good, strong horse, right? Well, I think you'd probably do the same thing with oxen. You wouldn't go out and buy oxen and then go out and see what you got, sight unseen. And what about marrying a wife? Does that mean you don't ever get out of the house again? What? You see, all the excuses are lame excuses. They don't make any sense. What's the point that Jesus is making? Why do they not come to the banquet? They don't like the host. The idea is the hostility they have to the host. If you go through the whole chapter of Luke 14, you see how hostile they were to Jesus himself. He's saying they were hostile to the host. And notice the rest of the parable. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there's room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." What's Jesus bringing out to us? As we go through these parables, this is one really of the kingdom parable. You see that the kingdom is truly open to everyone. But you have to accept the invitation. You have to decide to come. The invitation is there for everyone. The kingdom is open to the world. But you have to decide. You have to accept the invitation of the Lord. And the idea that these men were hostile, the idea of accepting the invitation is you accepting the Lord to truly be the Lord of your life. That you accept the reign of God and you go on that narrow road that leads to life instead of the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus brings out the idea in this simple little parable that the kingdom is open to everyone. The invitation goes to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The invitation is there. But we have to decide which road we're going to take. There's a road that leads to destruction, and there's a road that leads to life. You have to decide which road you're going to live your life. A few ideas, and the blessing is yours this morning. First, we have to be careful not to let the cares of this world delude us into losing what is really real. It's so easy to get tied up in the day-to-day activities. As Jesus says, the cares, the riches, and just the pleasures of life around us can blind us into helping us lose that which is real. The second, we can let the cares of this world take away the wonderment that we had as child. They can take away the desire to know the truth. They can even take away our ability to be willing to sacrifice and to love. And they can rob us of our real security that we have in the Lord. Finally, we need to make sure we're seeking to be rich with God. It's so easy to get tied up and seek the things of this world instead of being rich with God. That's how Jesus ended the first parable. This man was not, he was rich for this world. He had all the things this world had to offer, but he wasn't rich with God. And who is it that holds your soul? It's not the world. The world's going to pass away. But the eternal God, he's the one that's the giver of life. And when you think about the two great commands, to love the Lord your God, to seek him, and to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two that add life, real life, to the way that we live. And when we learn to live, and when we obey those two commands. This morning, think about which path you're on. Are you on the way that leads to life, or are you just going with the flow that leads to destruction? You need to think about which path you're on today. If you're not on the right path, there'd never be a better time to put your Lord on in baptism and start that way. Or if you've started that way, but you've gotten off that path, and the cares of this world have sort of deluded you and caused you to lose your way. The Lord is always there at the door knocking. Won't you let him come in? If you need to come in anyway, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
I heard an old